glad to be in God's house. Come on. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We make joyful noise. We just believe in just making noise unto the Lord. It's always good to make some noise because at least we know you're alive. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. You don't have to stem too hard. You can stem a bit, but make some noise. Amen. Amen. Praise God. All right. Thank you, Harry. That was good. That was good. I like that. I feel good about it. Praise God. Let me tell you one thing. When we talk about God's plan, every time when I look at my life, reflecting way back before the time when some of you were born, and I was then raised up, and I don't even know God. I don't even have any clues about God's wonderful work in my own life. And I'm going to show you the picture which my daughter accidentally put, this wonderful, cute little boy who was celebrating his one-year-old birthday. I know he's cute. I know he's good-looking. I know he's handsome. Don't have to tell me. I believe you. So you can see what sort of radio that my parents had, all right? And some of you will recognize that kind of radio we had, yeah? That's me. I don't put Elvis Presley up there. That's the boy that grew up. He's about 7 years old. And he looks a little bit like you mean Brian? You see Brian? I thought this one is better looking. And then after that, next slide, please. He grew up. This is my beautiful mother. And he's now grown up to be a primary school boy. And still cute, isn't it? Praise God. I was looking at my shirt and my pants. Man, those days, it matches, right? Why do you laugh? It's beautiful. It's flowery. Flowery clothes. Yeah. Let's go on to the next slide. Of course, he grew up into a young boy, teenager, having a lot of, this is an under 15 soccer state championship, and we won. I'm the one who stood beside the coach. No, I'm not the tallest. I'm one of those average one. He grew up not knowing the Lord either, have no clues about it, but just enjoy sports every time. From there, under 15, I went into a lot of different sports and represent the states in different games such as squash. But then I started to have a lot of my friends and we used to go party. I know. I know I have a lot of hair. Come on, you guys. Now understand one thing, the pastor who said that I use head and shoulders is all wrong. I never use head and shoulders. I used rejoice, actually. I was rejoicing every time. Yeah, afro, that's right. And as I was growing, it was all about partying. It's all about, you know, having girls and guys together. Party almost every month, you know, during my form fives and my form six days. And that's where I began to realize, somewhere in the midst of my form six, I began to realize there is still an emptiness in my own heart. But making a lot of excuses to deny that, I play a lot of games, I have sports friends, make a lot of party friends and so forth. Those are my softball team. I represent the college. So, and that's my captain on my right. And he also came and joined me in the party and so forth. And then I came to know the Lord. Yeah, different look, right? Different hairstyle. When I came to know the Lord, I started to search a lot more. And one of the things that I began to search about my life is about what is it? What is God wanting me to become? And the Lord began to bless me and direct me. And of course, I found my beautiful wife and got married. I know I have a lot of hair at that time, praise the Lord, until I got into the ministry and lose a lot of hair. right? And I grew in the Lord, and that's my beautiful wife, as you can see. And the children better say she's beautiful and better say I'm handsome, because you are the product of that. Amen. You see, when my children tease me about my hair, I'm just trying to prove to them I had a lot of hair. So while you have it, enjoy it right now. And then I began to realize God began to bless my life as I came to know Christ and searching and seeking God. God gave me a beautiful family, grown-up families, as you all can see. And it was a joyful time to, you know, grow them, and a joyful time to learn what God was doing through my life. As you can see, they were growing very well, and I'm blessed. I'm blessed by what God is doing. It takes a long journey, as you can see from the photo, from a young boy not knowing what God is doing, went through my teenage life, becoming very, very difficult for my parents to deal with me, and then slowly came to know Christ in a very personal way. Life began to change, and it never stops there. I never turned my back to say, no, I had enough of God. No, I just continue to walk because God has a plan for me. And I believe that God has also a plan for you. And then from the family, God began to bless us more. And we want to see that. Not so much of the number of grandchildren, but more of seeing them grow in the Lord. And then, of course, to finish it up, I can truly stand before you and say, God has blessed our lives. And I believe it is not just my journey, but I believe you have that journey. You probably go back to your album and look for your little girl, a little boy, when you were a baby, and when your mom and dad put you on a bed, taking picture of you while you're naked on the bed. Isn't it true sometimes? And then you wonder how this little baby grew up to be that man and the woman. I want you to know there's today's message. There is God's plan. I want you to read into God's divine assignment found in Jeremiah 29, verse 10 to 11, a very popular verse. It says this. This is what the Lord says: when 70 years are completed for Babylon, talking about Israel that were in exile, he says, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Somebody look at the last part of that verse. Plans to give you hope and a future. Are you with me today? Plans to give you hope and a future. Plans to give you hope and a future. And as I begin to look at the verse, and I look at my pictures, and I look at how God brought me through, I look at God's plan. I want to know God's plan. I want to digest God's plan. And the Lord remind me that in Proverbs 3, in verse 5 and 6, he says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. And when I look into God's plan, I cannot use all my fleshly ideas and strength to accomplish what I believe God has for me. I can't. But I need to look at God's ways. I need to understand God's ways. So what I did was I look into his thoughts. I want to search God's thoughts. I want to search God's mind. And I began to realize and discovered there were divine assignments that I need to accomplish. There were divine assignments for me to do what I need to do. I realize God gave us gifts and talent so that we can accomplish something what he wants us to do. God has actually gave us purpose so that we can reach our utmost best in the things that we know and the things that we ought to do. I remember telling you that this is the series of the subject of what is God's destiny for us. We talk about hearing God's voice. And today is about divine assignment. May I help you to remember this? What is your destiny? My destiny is not about pioneering few churches and pioneering rehab centers and so forth. My destiny is about restoring people's lives back to Jesus Christ. My destiny is to be a life jacket for people's life. That I can be of help and be a blessing. That we can be a blessing unto the glory of Jesus Christ. That is exactly what our destiny is all about. In God's plan, as I began to search, I realized that there were miracles after miracles. And because of that miracle, I look at my divine assignment. And the Lord is saying, I will lead you into my plan. I will lead you into my miracles. And that is what I want to do today, to help you to understand your divine assignment. Because in God's plans, there are many miracles. But there is something else that we need to be aware of. Satan attempts to spoil God's plan. Satan attempts to stop you from getting into God's miracle. It's all his pleasure that he wants to do. He wants to incapacitate your body. He wants to weaken your body. He wants to impoverize your life, including making you as lazy as you can be so that you will never see miracles after miracles. He wants to steal your privilege. He wants to steal your destiny so that you will not accomplish and fulfill God's destiny for you. He wants to corrupt your thoughts so that your thoughts will not be in line with his. That's what Satan wants. But today the good news is this. I've learned the divine assignment. I want to impart this to you. I want to share this with you. There are two areas of divine assignment that God has given unto me to fulfill the destiny that God has for me. And I believe you have that destiny too. Let me quickly bring to your attention. There are only two things you need to realize. Your divine assignment is about the right people and the right plan. Let me begin with the right people. It is very obvious today that we need to have the right kind of friends around us. You can have many friends, but you may not have the right friends. That's why Paul made the statement in Galatians chapter 5, verse 7. He says that you were running a good race. He says, but who cut you in or cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth? Who is the one who stopped you? Who is the one who tempted you from the options of following Jesus? Who is the one who tries to come in between to stop you from reaching out the best that you should be? No parents in this world, if I would say it in a general term, no parents in this world will want to see their children not reaching their best. Unfortunately, if we do not know Jesus, we can unconsciously or unaware stopping our children reaching their very best. Cut in simply means hindering. By breaking up the road. Sometimes we do not come with the flesh. We come with the spirit man. With evil intention. That's how people begin to stop your progress. Romans chapter 8 verse 5 says this. Those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the spirit have their mind set on what the spirit desires. What sort of mindset do we live today? Do we live with a flesh mindset? Do you know that when you live in the flesh mindset, you can be a hindrance to somebody else's progress? You can be a hindrance to your own personal progress. Because the flesh mindset are people who drain your energy, are people who reduce your effectiveness. We are not here to shun them. We are not here to avoid them. But we are here to minister to them. Don't let them become an influence to you. Instead, be an influence to them. I want to show you the right people that God brought that will come along your side and be a great blessing to you. The effectiveness of being or having the right people in your life. I want you to see in Acts chapter 9 and verse 10 to 18, but it's a long passage. To summarize that story, I want you to realize this, that God used a man to connect with Paul so that he can accomplish the destiny of God. When he needed healing, God sent Ananias. Amen. When there is sickness, God sends somebody to come alongside with you. Paul, when there was this early church, he was persecuting them. When he came to know Christ, all the early church was so afraid of him. But God raised Barnabas. Barnabas came into the picture to mollify, to soothe the situation, and brought him into the circle of the disciples. At the same time, Paul, when he was in the ministry, he was pretty discouraged until God sent Titus to encourage him. It's so important in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 6. He says, "But God who comforts the downcast comforted us by the coming of Titus." I pray today God will bring good friends. Somebody amen, say amen. God will and bring a group of friends to encircle you with the right attitude, with the right heart, to encourage you to move forward, to take you from that place to another place. And that's what God is saying to you. Sometimes we never had a chance to reach our goals. Why? Because we constantly have friends that is giving excuses. It's okay. Don't have to do this. God understands. If you don't do it, God understands. Only once, only twice. God made his word very clear. When you love the Lord with all of your heart. Somebody saying, amen. Not some, not half. All of your heart. And I want to show you another person. Her name is Ruth. You know the story. Ruth has a poignant declaration, very powerful declaration. Daughter-in-law spoke this word to her mother-in-law. It's a beautiful relational picture. It's a beautiful picture for every marriage that we all need to learn. Let me read to you in Ruth chapter 1, in verse 16 to 17. He says these words, "Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you." Ruth telling her mother-in-law Naomi, "Where you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people and your God will be my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me. Be it so severely if even death separates you and me." I saw a beautiful picture of a marriage. A woman was married into the family. The husband died, but she loved the Lord. She had been taught about God, and she wants to follow Naomi when Naomi decided to go back to Bethlehem. She made this powerful, powerful statement. You know, when I look at it, there are so many elements of truth involved in marriage. Isn't it true? A lot of good elements that we need to learn. Can I advise you, husbands? You know, sometimes when your wife decides something and make choices, you know, you laugh at her. You say, "What in the world are you thinking? Why do you make this type of choice?" And you laugh at her, you tease her and so forth. Don't forget, you were one of those choices that she made. Right? And then sometimes in marriage, you know, husband and wives, I don't know, when you get into marriage, you suddenly became magicians. Husband and wife became magicians. They can change anything for argument. That's how good they are. Change anything for argument. Isn't it? If you are thinking of getting married, let me advise you. Free premarital counseling. Okay? Yeah, it's free. When you're getting married, you got to know the person. Amen? All right? Don't be like some people who actually, you know, they enter into marriage like people reading the terms and conditions in the website. After going through, they don't even understand anything, but they click, "I agree." That's the danger when people enter into marriage by just clicking, I agree. Because all of a sudden you realize when you get into marriage, suddenly both of you became magicians. Change anything for argument. Change anything for argument. You've got to be very careful with that. All right? Don't fall into the trap in this kind of element that is so prominent in marriage today. Marriage is a decision of a lifetime. It's a decision of a lifetime. And the story about Ruth projects this beautiful image of a marriage. And one of the things that I discovered is that behind this beautiful picture, I saw the miracle. I saw the miracle that God sent in a person, the right person, into her life. And that is exactly what we hope for. What I discovered is this. Listen, this is a very powerful tip for anyone who thinks you want to get into relationship. Listen, and I'm serious about this. If you look into Ruth's life, God began to bless her because she was first a blessing. Take note. You will never be connected to the right person of blessing if you are not a blessing to somebody. Very quiet. I can hear footsteps. Ruth was a blessing to her mother-in-law. And when they came to this land, back home, God began to bring the connection into her life that brought about the divine destiny of God being fulfilled, who became a great-grandmother of King David. She had such a connection from a man called Boaz. Why? Because she was first a blessing. If you are not first a blessing to anybody, don't expect the right connection to come along your way. Am I saying something that somebody understand what I'm saying? Say amen. God send the right people to help you fulfill your destiny. And I'm glad that my wife came into my life and she was much more mature than I was because she knew the Lord from Sunday school. And she never failed from Sunday school until an adult, learning the Lord's ways. And being a blessing in her early years of her life, God has brought us together. And all that we need to do is to be a blessing to one another, and God will connect us. I am very sure of that. Because the Bible tells me that God sent Haggai. As many of you who study the book of Haggai right now, you understand that Haggai was sent to help turn the hearts of the people to rebuild the temple. God sent Nehemiah to come around and help build the wall of Jerusalem. God sent Daniel to show the people in the foreign land like Babylon what it means to uphold the faith and commitment in the midst of adversity. God sent Joseph to Egypt, not knowing why he was there, but the Lord sent him to redeem his family. I want to ask you this question. Will you be the one that God sent to build up lives so that they may reach their destiny? But I do not want you to be like this man called Jonah. Jonah believed in God, but he tried to avoid his responsibility. The effects of having a wrong person in your ship can cause chaos on the ship. And so Jonah was a rebellious man, though he believed in God. Hello, can I hear somebody say, I know what you're talking about? A rebellious man who knows the Lord. He was disobedient. And all of a sudden, the story tells me that he took the whole shipload of people down until they have to throw him out. Some of you may say, you know, I have some of these friends of mine, and you saw them because you came to know the Lord, and now they walked away from your life. Do you know that sometimes God took them away from you? You know why? Because they are not part of God's plan for your life. They are not part of God's plan for your life. But you know something? God may take some of these friends away because they are not part of your life, and you need not have to be worrying. The day will come when God will bring you the right people. God knew that He only takes one man. It takes only one man to destroy your life. It only takes one man to destroy your destiny. It only takes one man to break up the family. It only takes one person to destroy the family as well. It doesn't need to have two or three. It only takes one man. Because the Bible tells me that when Joshua was about to fight against the Ais, it only took one person to cause the defeat. His name was Achan. One man. I remember somebody quote to me this, and I thought this quote is very relevant for my sermon today. And I want to read that quote to you. He says, some people bless you when they come into your life. And then he said, some people bless you when they exit from your life. Isn't it true? The right people come in will be a great blessing, but the wrong people that exit will be a greater blessing. You got to know that. When you allow the wrong people to come into your life, you are keeping them to stop you from reaching God's best for your life. And that is what happened to many people today, Christians. Not able to expand, not able to explore, not able to reach the very goal, the best that they should be. Why? Because of the friends they have. And so they began to turn around and look what their friends are offering, and they said, well, why not I join you? Instead of seeing God is drawing and gravitating you and say, come, come to me. Come to me. I want to show you my miracle. I want to show you my plans. But you were not surrounded with a good friends. You were surrounded with other friends. And that's why we never change. We never have the possibility of making right choices. Can I help you to start with this? Start with this. Find somebody who fear the Lord. Find somebody who truly fear God, because this person is going to show you what it means to respect. He's going to show you what it means to have reverence. He's going to show you what it means to honor God. And he will help you and take you to the place where God wants you to be. That's the kind of friend you should be looking for. If you are not, and you believe that what I say is true, then change. Make the right friends that you ought to have. Once you have the right people around you, you are reaching closer and closer to the miracles of God in your life. You know something? The second part of the divine assignment is having the right plan. What do you mean by that, Pastor? Because this is the assignment that is going to get you into God's miracle. When God intends to work a miracle, he has a plan that comes with it. Somebody say amen. God is having this miracle awaiting for us every day. And he has some instructional plans for you to follow through and listen and abide and obey. And when you go in, you can see the miracles for yourself. I've shown you my journey. The moment God came, it was a journey of greater glory, of greater blessing. I want you to go into that journey as well. You see, it's a very logical for everyone to understand. If God wants you to be successful, he will have to give you a successful plan. Am I right? If God wants you to serve him, he wants to give you the anointing to serve him. Am I right? You see, God doesn't give you anything that is opposite of what he wants you to do. Nobody here would disagree with these facts. When there is something for you to cut with a knife, he doesn't give you a hammer. Am I right or not? Are you with me? When God wants you to progress and build a house, he makes sure that you have the right tools. He doesn't give you the wrong tools. He doesn't give you a needle with a string to build a house. Are you with me? No common sense people will ever do such a thing. But trust me that God has a great plan because he has a great miracle for you. When he wants you to have that miracle, he will give you the miracle plan. Unfortunately, when we fail to follow the instructional plans of God that will lead us to his miracle, he will cause you to miss his miracles. And what happened then? Christians will constantly face darkness and face emptiness. And some of them, when God gave them a plan, they look at it and say, oh no, oh, it's too tedious. And they start complaining. It's difficult, Pastor. It's difficult. I can't follow through those plans. It's too tedious. And they complain. The list of requirements is too long, Pastor. I don't have time to follow through. Brothers and sisters, there is a great call for Christians today. If you want to be a Christian of great faith right now, you got to see, no matter how hard the difficult situation is, you got to know that God's instructional plan is not an easy plan, but you need to obey. Nobody says it's easy. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Our modern era. Our modern people today are so gullible, believe in spiritual deception. And every time we talk about spiritual things, these guys will laugh. They laugh at your truth. They laugh at you and say, you are a Christian, you still believe in God. Yes! If you don't believe in God, the Bible says you are a fool. It's true. I didn't say it. The Bible says. The Bible says so. Brothers and sisters, once we miss the instructional plan, we become empty. We become hollow. We become weary with our life. So I want to challenge you. Many of the people have lost their heart to pray. Can I ask the church today to do one thing? The Lord put in my heart that we want the church every day pledge to spend 10 minutes just pray for the church. Every day, just pledge, pray, 10 minutes. You know what I'm asking you to do? I want you to see the vision of what God wants to do in this church. How many of you believe that God can extend and expand even more? Somebody say amen. Amen. And when you see that taking place, and you start being motivated and being driven to pray even more. So please spend 10 minutes every day pray for the church, Life Solution. I'm not asking for much, just 10 minutes. If you can spend more, praise be to God. You know, when we start losing our prayer life, we start losing our focus because it's a sign of our weariness, it's a sign of emptiness, and we are not getting into God's instructional plan. So life today has been camouflaged by social activities. When we are so empty, we try to look for things to do with friends. Brothers and sisters, if you don't have those things to do, then you start to get depressed. That means we have lost God's plan. We have lost the connection with God. Let me prove to you from the scripture. There is this man, Joshua. God began to lead him and his people to cross over the promised land. And during that time, God gave them a plan. Let's look at Joshua chapter 3 in verse 9 to 13. Let me read to you. He says this, "Come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. This is how you will know that the living God is among you and that he will suddenly drive out before you the Canaanites, Hittites, Hivites, Perizzites, Girgashites, Amorites, and Jebusites. But verse 11 says this, see, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth will go into the Jordan ahead of you. Now then, choose 12 men, not 10, not 11, but 12 men. From the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. And as soon as the priest who carried the ark of the Lord of all the earth, set foot in the Jordan, its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap. God wants to do a miracle in your life. It comes with instructional plans. We need to follow that plan. Let me show you another one. Joshua needed a miracle of conquest when he crossed over. And God gave him a plan. Joshua chapter 6, verse 3 to 5. And many of you are very familiar with this. Let me read to you his plan. He told the people, march around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Not five, not four, 6 days. Then he says, have seven priests, not five, not four, not six, seven priests carry trumpets of rams, horns in front of the ark, and on the seventh day, not the fifth day, not the sixth day, but the seventh day, march around the city seven times, not five times, not six times, seven times, with the priests blowing the trumpets. And when you hear them sound a loud blast on the trumpets, have the whole army give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse and the army will go up, everyone straight in. The instructions was very clear. As long as they follow through, the miracle begins. Somebody say amen. We have instructional plan for every miracle that God does in our lives. But there's another man, Naaman. Naaman is the commander of the Aramean army. He's a big man. He's a dignified man. But he suffered leprosy. And he needed healing. And obviously, he sought for a miracle for healing. And the Lord gave him an instruction found in 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 10 to 14. Elisha sent a messenger to him and said this. He said, go wash yourself, how many times? Seven times in the Jordan. And your flesh will be restored and you will be cleansed. Man, he was so frustrated. He was angry. He was flabbergasted. Why do you get me to dip myself in River Jordan? In fact, the Bible says in verse 12, Arnon, Abana, and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel. Why do you ask me to dip myself in the Yara River? No, Jordan River. He was angry, but a servant came and persuaded him and said, my father, if the prophet had told you to do some great things, would you not have done it? Isn't it true? If you were to been told to do something big, great, you want to do, but when you're told to humble yourself and do something else, he said, that's not my job. How can we experience God's miracles? How can we experience God's miracle? Naaman followed through ultimately, and when he came up after seven times, the leprosy was gone. What was God's instruction for you? The Bible is very clear. We are given instructions after instructions. We are told to live our life worthily before him. And look at another incident in the New Testament. This is about Mary at the wedding in Cana. And then you notice that Mary asked her son Jesus for a miracle of provision. But John 2 verse 5 and to 10, it says this. His mother said to the servants, listen to the word, do whatever he tells you. Did you see that? Somebody, come on, repeat after me. Do whatever he tells you. Tell your neighbor, do whatever he tells you. Tell your neighbor right now. Tell your neighbor, do whatever he tells you. And the mother told the servants, do whatever he tells you. And he says this, nearby stood six stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servant, fill the jars with water, not oil, not olive oil, not grapes, fill with water. So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet. You read the story continuously, you notice the miracle had begun. Brothers and sisters, you can read many other portions in the Bible. Many of these miracles came with instructional plans. If you and I want to experience God, the Bible is our instructional plan. The word of the Lord is very clear. Just listen and do what he tells you. Are you with me? Do what he tells you. Is it difficult? Do what he tells you. You know why this instruction is difficult? Because our flesh is far more than the work of the Spirit in our lives. And that is why it makes it very difficult. Listen and follow his plans. What kind of generation are we having today? Are we having a generation that really follow through what God is saying? You know, it doesn't matter which generation we come from. You can come from the earlier generation, you can come from the present generation, or you may come in the future generation. I don't care. Because as far as I'm concerned, the God that we serve is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Amen. And whatever generation you are in, it's not about your methods. It's not about what you have today compared to before. You are worshiping the same living God. Miracles will still happen. And you and I know today that we are asking ourselves, what sort of generation? Are you a generation with great faith to believe the same God that my forefathers believed? In my family, I was the first one to come to know Jesus Christ before the rest of my members of the family. The first generation to believe. I do not know about my grandfather. I do not know my great-grandfather. I don't even know who they are. Whether they believe in the Lord when they were in China, I don't know. But I do know when I came into this world, I was not a Christian and I did not believe in him. But when the Lord showed me who he is, I believe, and till today, I will always believe. He is a miracle working God. Jeremiah tells me in verse 10 to 11, as you have read before, this is what the Lord says, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise. Verse 11 says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. God's plan is about giving hope and a future. You may not be able to see what is ahead of you, but I want you to know God already saw it. He knew what your future should be. But right now, you either walk according to his plans, then you will see what that future was in store for you. Or you can miss his plan and not see that future that he has for you. And when you move away from what he has in store for you and you divert and detour, you will create your own future where God is not there. Are you with me? Amen? Amen? Oh, you look very sad. Somebody say amen. The divine assignment for you is simply to reach God's destiny. My destiny is to be a life jacket to people's lives. My purpose is to see you achieve your hope and God's future that was already planned for you. But my responsibility is to get you right into his plans and walk right straight into the future that God has in store for you. If you only remember this, find the right friend around you and get into God's plan. Because God's plan is the right plan. And so I want to conclude today. When you have the right friends, he will take you to the place where God wants you to be. Not when somebody come to your house and said, don't worry, you tell your pastor this week, you don't go to church, it's okay, God understand. Yeah. I will pray for you. Because the church today has to be the church of great faith. You need right friends and right people. God's miracles oftentimes comes with instructional plans. Do not ignore it. The Bible is very clear. And one of the greatest plans that I held on for many, many years in my life, ever since I knew Jesus, that was about 37 years ago. And this is only one scripture that has helped me all the days of my life. He says, abide in me and I shall abide in you. Apart from me, you can do nothing. I held these for all the years of my Christian walk with God. Nobody tells me that this is the verse that I'm going to live with. When the Lord showed me in my devotional time at the age of 19 years old, God opened up that word to me and said, son, this is the word for you. I want you to live on with this. And I said, Lord, today I can say, this is God's plan for me. Hallelujah. It was his plan that I must abide. I must remain, I must stay, I must dwell in his presence in order for me to see fruits, in order for me to see miracles, not only in other people's life, but also in my own life. I have that journey, and I believe some of you also have that journey, but don't stop there, because the journey continues. Amen. And I was just sharing to the cell group just recently on Friday, the purposes of God is greater than your circumstances. You may go through some tough times, waves and bellows of waves hitting against you. But I want you to know, all these is going to gear you towards the fulfillment of God's purpose. When you have this divine assignment, let me assure you today, with right people, you will be led towards where God wants you to be. With God's right plan, you will definitely see God's miracle for your life. And I want to challenge you to that point. Don't miss God's miracles. Are you there with me? You saw that in the scripture, portion after portion, instructions after instructions, then you see the revelation of God's miracles. How many of you here today saying, I want to have God's miracles? I'm serious. How many of you want that? And you are not going to be exempted from it as long as you keep yourself in line with God's plan. Somebody saying, amen. Amen. Let us close our eyes together. Hallelujah.
You've been listening to Pastor Calvin Sim from Life Solutions Christian Church. For more information, please feel free to contact us by phone on 0410-985-432 or find us online at www.lifesolution.org.au.